an all-knowing and ever-present God. You may be seated. An all-knowing and ever-present God. Wouldn't it be amazing if someone knew everything? And wouldn't it be amazing if someone could be everywhere all at the same time? And wouldn't it be amazing if someone was all or had all power? Well, if you were here last week, and if not, you can go to our website and pull the sermon down, listen to the sermon. There is one who is, and just one, who is all powerful. There is one and just one who is everywhere at the same time. There is one and only one who knows all things. And he is our God. He is our triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows all things. He is everywhere at the same time, and he has all power. You know, this psalm here, Psalms 139, captures two of those attributes: his omniscience, his all-knowing, and also his omnipresence. He's everywhere all at the same time. Let us just dive right in and see what the psalmist has to say about this God who is awesome, who is mighty, as I continue this series on the attributes of our God. The psalmist says in Psalms 1 and 2, he says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You know everything that I do. You understand my thought afar off." The psalmist, in this case, is David. He acknowledges to God that God knows him. God knows you too. He knows me. He knows us intimately. God knows us thoroughly. Jaron, he knows us perfectly. As a matter of fact, he knows us better. He knows us, my brother. He knows us better than we know ourselves. This is an awesome attribute. If you're taking notes, the omniscience of God, O-M-N-I-S-C-I-E-N-C-E, the omniscience of God. The fact that he is all-knowing. And the psalmist says, he searches me and he knows me. So he searches us and he knows us. And watch this. It's not as if he didn't know us before he searched us. He knew us even before he created us. Ask Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God told Jeremiah this. He said, "Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you." Isn't that amazing? Look at my God, God's omniscience. He said, "Jeremiah, before I even made you, before I even created you, I knew you before I even created you." That's some amazing knowledge there, that you can know someone even before they exist. But God says, "Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you." And then he goes on and says, "Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." I think sometimes we have too small of a view of God. He is a big God. He's an all-knowing God and an ever-present, sister cousin, an ever-present God. He's an all-powerful God. My grandmother, you all often heard me talk about her. I grew up right across the street from her, and I ate many meals under her table. She was a great cook, and yeah, I love my grandmother. I would go over there oftentimes, a little lad, little kid, and, you know, turn on her TV, her and my granddad TV. It was a black and white TV, so I'm going to date myself just a little bit. Turn on that TV and watch my little cartoons. And then she had a phone. She had one of those rotary phones, right? And, you know, it was one of those phones where you get it in the card, Brother Sawyer, you could pull it all through the house, pretty much. Y'all remember the long cards? You know, you didn't have a phone in every room like we do now, a cell phone, so you had to pull it all through the house. And I'd be having a good time, you know, watching my little cartoons, you know, trying to talk on the phone and watch this, talking about the presence of God and omnipotence of God, Sister Roxy. Don't let a little bit of, I'm talking about a little bit of storm. I'm not talking about a serious thunderstorm. Don't let a little storm come up and one little sound of thunder go off. She'd be like, boy, turn off that TV. Get off that phone. God is talking. God is doing his business. I mean, and my grandmother didn't go to seminary. She didn't know anything about these fancy words, omniscience and omnipotence and all that. But she knew that God was all powerful. She knew that God was to be reverenced and respected. She had a holy fear of God. So don't let that TV come on when the lightning is going outside. She knew about the omniscience and omnipotence of our God. But verse 2 says, you know, God, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. God knows what you're doing even before you're going to do it. Check this out. He knows your thoughts even before you think them. He knows your thoughts and my thoughts. And let me pause here just for a moment because Jesus even said, he said in Matthew 5, Jesus, if you got unforgiveness or hatred in your heart toward another, Jesus is as if you already committed murder. He said, if you got lust in your heart toward another, he says, just as if you have already committed the sexual sin. So as we're talking about God knows all things, knows your thoughts and my thoughts, I might want to pause just for a moment. This is a good place to confess some sins. Let me say that again. This is a good place to confess some sins. I mean, you know, you can't be saying, well, God, you know, I'm hiding this from God. God don't know. I didn't do it. I'm just thinking it. God don't know. No, God knows everything. He knows everything. And I found this quote about sin. It says, when conviction of sin comes, it is not enough to curb, correct, or counteract the sin, but rather we must crucify it. Let me say that again. When conviction of sin comes, it is not enough just to kind of curb or coddle it or correct or even counteract the sin, but we must crucify it. So if your thought life is messed up, you need to just go on and confess it and admit it to God. Say, God, forgive me for that thought I just had. Forgive me for that thing I wanted to say. I didn't say it, but I wanted to say it. You might as well just go on and confess it. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, we agree with God about our sin. I'm talking about thought life now. The Bible says he is faithful, he is just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So if we can deal with that thought life, we don't have to worry about, okay, I didn't do it. I was thinking it, but I didn't do it. I'm going to stop it right there, God. I want to take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. God even says in Isaiah 1:18, he said, come now, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. So Brother Tommy, since God knows everything, I might well just come clean with God. I can't be talking, well, nobody else knows it. God don't even know. No, yes, he does. He knows all things. That's why I often say this. We often say, God knows my heart. Now, sometimes it's a good thing. You know, when you do something and it might be wrong or you say something, it didn't come out right. But, you know, your motives were pure and you really meant one thing. You're like, well, God knew what I meant. That's a good thing sometimes. But there are sometimes. I said, there's a sometimes. When I think about that God knows my heart, I'm like, man, boy, I need to start confessing and repenting right now. Because God does know my heart. So the psalmist, that's what he's saying. He said, God, you know my thoughts from afar off. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You know everything about me. And then in verse 3 and 4, he goes on. Again, I'm preaching about the omniscience, the all-knowing of God and the omnipotence of God and the omnipresence of God. God is everywhere at the same time. Verse 3 and 4, he goes on and says, you comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Listen, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Again, even before you say it, God knows it. Even before that word get on your tongue, God already know it. God knows, Job said it this way. He said, God, you know the way I take. God knows the way I take. God knows where you are going even before you start going there. He knows all your ways, all my ways. He knows our personalities. He made us. He knows all of that. God knows all those things. God is all knowing. Verse 5 and 6, I hasten on. He says, God, and this is kind of easing toward his omnipresence now a little bit. But he says, God, you have hedged me behind and before. You behind me and in front of me. And he says, God, you have laid your hand upon me. Look in verse 6. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. The psalmist is a different mid-psalm. As he's writing this, as the Holy Spirit told him what, tells him what to write, he begins to ponder just how God knows all things, how God is everywhere all at the same time. And it's like the psalmist almost throws his pen down and says, wait a minute, man, I cannot understand this. This is too high for me. This is too awesome for me. This mighty attribute of God saying that he knows all things about everything. Saints, you got to grab it. God knows everything about everything. I said, God knows everything about everything. So the psalmist says, God, you lead me. He said, you got me kind of boxed in. You before me and you behind me. You lead me. You go before me, but you're my rear guard. You're in front of me and you're behind me. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said it this way. He said, as though we were caught in an ambush or besieged by an army which has surrounded the city walls. God has surrounded us. God has surrounded us, saints. God has surrounded us. Check this out. Behind us, Spurgeon writes, there is God recording our sins. Don't get too quiet right there. Behind us is God recording our sins, or in grace, blotting them out of his remembrance. Let me say that again. God is behind us recording our sins, or in grace, blotting them out from his remembrance. That's Bible. The Bible says when we confess our sins, he takes our sins and casts them as far as the east is from the west. He throws them off into the sea of forgetfulness. And then Spurgeon goes on and says, God, therefore, God foreknows all our deeds and provides for all of our needs. Let me say that again. God foreknows all of our deeds. In other words, he knows what we're going to do. But he also provides for all of our needs. Whatever we're going to do, he provides for it even before we start doing it. God is all knowing. So God is all knowing. And so the psalmist again in verse 6, he said, wait a minute, this is too amazing for me. This is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain it. It's like the psalmist is saying, Sister Kayla, it's like the psalmist is saying, if I got up on my tippy toes and reached high as I could reach up there, I would still just get the bottom rung of God's omniscience and his omnipotence and his omnipresence. It's too high for me to understand. But we should try to grasp it. But even more so, saints, you and I need to acknowledge the fact of the truthfulness of the fact, and believe it, embrace it, hold on to it, because God is all-knowing, and God is omnipresent. Are y'all getting this? God knows everything. God is everywhere. I said, God is everywhere. Listen to what verse 7 through 12 says. So the psalmist says, since God is everywhere, where can I go from your spirit? The psalmist said, where can I go that God is not there? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, verse 8, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to God. It's no different from God. It's not like, well, it's too dark out here. God can't see. No, the dark is just like the light to God. It's too dark for me and you to see sometimes. Especially me. I got bad eyes. It's too dark for you and me to see sometimes. But it's not too dark for God. So wherever you go, listen to this, wherever you go on planet Earth, wherever you go on planet Earth, God is there. Our youngest daughter, many of y'all know, just went off to college. We FaceTimed her last night, just went off to college to Phoenix, Arizona. That's a lot of miles away. Probably take about two or three days to drive out there, you know. It's a long way. But guess what? As parents, I can say, okay, we praying for her and all that, but God is there. Let me say that again. God is there. He's not just in Chattanooga. He's over in Phoenix, Arizona also. My mother lives over in Arkansas. He's over there too. God is everywhere. Wherever you go on planet Earth, God is there. Wherever you go in the universe, you can get you a space shuttle and go up to the moon or go up to Mars or go up to Pluto or somewhere. And God is there. Wherever you go, God is there. I know one preacher, Pastor Carwell. I think Pastor Carwell used to say this sometime. He's with the Lord now. He used to be at New Monumental for many years. He said, when God goes one place, he said this kind of tongue. And see, when God goes one place, he bumps into himself coming back from that place. Because he's everywhere. He was just trying to say, God can't go anywhere where he's not already there. Pastor Carwell, he always had a way with words. But God is omnipresent. He's omnipresent. And if you're saved today, if you are a child of God today, if you belong to Jesus today, that should bring you some comfort this morning to know that God is everywhere at the same time and he's all knowing. And oh, by the way, he also has all power. So check this out. Even that meeting you might be thinking about right now, that meeting at work you got to go into tomorrow, it might not go so well. Who knows? Guess what? God is there. Even that situation you've been trying to avoid, guess what? God is already there. Even that tough financial situation you're struggling with, guess what? God is there. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Even that sick situation, you can be on your sick bed, and guess what? God is there. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. When you think everyone has forsaken you, guess what? God is there. Paul, I often quote this, Paul, he was in prison one time and everybody did forsake him. And Paul basically said, well, Lord, I don't charge your account. He said, all left me. He said, all forsook me. But wait a minute. All forsook me, but the Lord stood with me. I had one with me, Brother Chris. I had one with me. The Lord was with me. He is omnipresent. When you are down at your lowest point, God is there. He can and will lift you back up. Oh, I have a couple witnesses right there. When you're at your lowest point, God is there. He can lift you back up. Check this out. When you get too high, when you get too proud and arrogant, God is there. He can bring you back down. He can deflate that ego. He can bring you back down. Wherever you go physically, God is there. Wherever you may go mentally or emotionally or spiritually even, guess what? God is there. God is there. It's no situation, no thing that's foreign to God. It may be foreign to you. It might be a new thing for you. But guess what? It's not new to God. God is already there. God has already dealt with it. God has already worked that thing out. Look at it. In Genesis 3, a great example, Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve, I mean, it was perfect. We call it the age of innocence, Genesis 2 up until early in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve were made in God's image. They were perfect before sin came. But of course, when the serpent slithered into the garden and deceived Adam and Eve, they ate of the forbidden fruit. It's not like caught God off guard. God already had the, matter of fact, the Bible says that the Lamb of God, he was slain even before the foundation of the world. God already had it worked out. Oh, y'all not hearing me. God already had the salvation plan worked out. Even though Adam and Eve, man messed up, God had it fixed up and worked it out. God is already there. For the worshiper of God, for the follower of Christ, that should encourage your heart this morning. We serve a God who is omnipresent. We serve a God who is omniscient. We serve a God who is omnipotent, who is all powerful. He's all powerful. I say he's all powerful. He's all powerful. He's all powerful. And since he's omnipresent, you can't get away from him. I say you can't get away from God. But there are some people, unfortunately and sadly, who reject God and reject Christ and say, well, I don't want God, I don't want Jesus. And then they die and tragically end up in hell. And they think, okay, I'm in hell, I'm going to go to hell. And finally, I'm going to be away from God. No, they're not. The devil don't run hell. Some people think the devil run. Some people think it's like, you go down there, all your buddies going to be down there. And, the devil, he kind of like the DJ. And, y'all just going to hang out down there, No. No, the devil don't run hell. God runs hell. The devil himself, he's going to be being tortured throughout all eternity. He don't run hell. The psalmist just said that, right? He said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings, I like this boy. If I take the wings of the uttermost and fly to the uttermost parts of the heavens, thou art there. God is everywhere. Can't get away from God. I think I shared this with you all a couple of times. Years ago, back in the late 80s, a good friend of mine, he was sharing the gospel with me, and I was unsaved at the time, and just a great brother, and just had the presence of God, God with him, Jesus with him, talking about trying to be away from the presence of God. And I remember he used to come by my apartment. I lived in Red Bank, and he would often, sometimes he'd bring over gospel music, or we would study the Bible. And he made an imprint in my life. But I didn't surrender to Christ during those days. I was still into the world, still doing my own little thing. And since he represented God in my life, if you will, I remember one day being up paying some bills up on down near downtown, and I saw this guy talking about the presence of God, and I was like, man, there he is. He gonna be asking me what I've been doing, what I've been into. I'm gonna have to maybe lie. So I hid. I hid, and he walked. He was about two cars away from me. He walked by. I was like, phew, got away. But then after that, it hit me. Even though I was unsaved, I grew up in the church, it hit me. Wait a minute, you hid from him. Oh, y'all not here. You hid from him, but God said, you ain't hiding from me. I still see you down there in your little sin. I see you. I thought I could hide from the presence of God, and God let me know, no, I ain't letting you go that easy. I'm still here convicting you. That's why you hid, because you're still convicted by me through him. But you ain't hiding from me. Thank God he eventually ran me down. A couple of years later, he ran and arrested me. And I thank God for that. But we can't get away from God's presence. God is everywhere. And that should comfort you and me as we follow Christ, as we worship God, that God is everywhere. And wherever you go, child of God, you should take the presence of God with you. Matter of fact, we're called as salt and light, right? If you come into a situation with all kind of crazy stuff, chaotic stuff going on, you should bring some light up in that situation. I said, wait a minute, you should bring some light up in that situation. You can't get away from the presence of God. But look at verse 10. It says, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. I love that. So this God who is all powerful, this God who knows everything, this God who is ever present, he is leading you and holding you. Somebody not getting that. This God who is all, see, it would be one thing to be around somebody who has limited power. But to be held by someone, to be led by someone who has all power, that means there's no situation that you or I can come into that there's not a way out. That God somehow can bridge that gap. He can see us through it or give us the strength to make it through it or take that thing away. Because why? Because he has all power. He's everywhere, all at the same time. You can't be like, well, God don't know this is going on. God not here. But no, God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. God knows all things. He knows about your situation, my situation, good, bad, in the middle. He knows all of that. He has all power. So the fact that verse 10 says he leads us, his right hand is leading me, and also his right hand is holding me. Oh, child of God, so not only does God lead us, but also he holds us. Are y'all getting this? Not only does he lead us, Mother Lawson, but he also holds us. Think about that for a moment. God not only leads us, but he holds us. Jesus said it much better than I in John 10:28-30. Jesus said, oh yeah, you're in my hands. So nobody can pluck you out. We call it eternal security. That's not necessarily a Baptist doctrine. That's a biblical doctrine. It's a Baptist doctrine, but it's a biblical doctrine. Jesus said, if you've given your life to me, you're in my hands and nobody can pluck you out. He said, oh, okay, just in case that's not good enough for you, you're also in my Father's hands. So that's like double coverage. That's better than all state. And you're in both hands. You're in the Father's hands and the Son's hands. He said, me and the Father, we're one. He said, I got you. Oh, that's good news. If Jesus got you, he got you. Said, nobody can pluck you out of my hands. Paul wrote it this way in Romans 8:36, talking about who can separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ. Romans 8:36. He said, see, a tribulation, the answer should be no. Or distress, or persecution. Y'all gonna help me preach this. Or persecution, no. That's your part. Or distress, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. None of that stuff, none of those things can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Nothing. That's an all-knowing God, an ever-present God. And then he went on in verse 38 and 39, Paul said, he said, I am persuaded, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I mean, in our fleshly state, sometimes we get in those little pity parties. Sometimes we be thinking we're going through this. Man, is God, is he really care? Is God there? Now, yes, God is there. I said, he is there. He can tell us, just like he told Paul, I may not remove that thorn in the flesh, but my grace, God's grace. How many of y'all know that God's grace is sufficient to see you through? Think about it. That thing you was going through last year or 5 years ago or 8 years ago, you didn't think you was going to make it through it. But here you are now. You can say, how you like me now? Here I am now because God was with me and is with me. He can see us through that thing. I said, he can see us through that thing. He can see us through that thing. God, he is holding us. That image is stick in your mind. He is holding us. He is holding us. Verse 13 and 14. Psalmist says, dear God, you form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Then he said, I will praise you. See, that's why as a pastor and preacher and as a choir and leader, we shouldn't have to beg people to praise and worship God. That kind of irks me sometimes. Why you got to beg people to? God is God. I said, God is God. He deserves to be praised and worshiped and adored just because he is God. Not because, you know, the choir sang the right song or the preacher hit the right tune or whatever. No. God is God. And just because he is God, I'm going to praise him. Just because he is God, I'm going to thank him. Just because he is God, I'm going to worship him. Just because he is God, I'm going to adore him. Just because he is God, I'm going to surrender to him. He's God. That's reason enough. I haven't even gotten to all the stuff that he's done for us. I'm just talking about who he is. He's the God who is all-powerful. He's the God who is all-knowing. He is a God who is omnipresent. So that in itself deserves worship and praise. I'm not even saying, as grandma would say, he woke you up this morning. Put food on the table. I hadn't even got to that yet. Put clothes on your back. Put a little, you drove here in a little hoopty this morning. At least you got here if you didn't hoopty. I mean, God, he just deserves praise and worship just because of who he is. Not even talking about what he does. That's what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, I'm going to thank him. I'm going to praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, God knows all about us. He knows our DNA. He knows everything about us. He made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God don't make no junk. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I can save a lot of money. I can put a lot of certain counseling is important, but this whole low self-esteem stuff, if you just think about who you are in Christ, that God made you, that should get away from the low self-esteem. But then watch this. Also, this should stop you from thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. I mean, God wants us to think about ourselves correctly. Don't be too arrogant. Don't be down here. Because God made you. Now, once again, if you get up here too high, God can bring you down. Oh, I ought to have a lot of witnesses right there. If you get too high, Brother Steve, God can bring you down. But don't be too low. Just be just right. God made us just right. You're made in the image of God. You're made in the image of God. That's everybody's made in the image of God. Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our own image. In the image of man, he made us in his image, male and female. God made us in his image. So since God knows everything, since God has all power, and since God is everywhere all at the same time, verse 14, once again, that means you and I all just praise him. I mean, you just should praise him on the regular. We should praise him because of just who he is. Also, this is a good point to point out, since he knows everything, we ought to pray a lot more than we do. Since we're following and worshiping and serving the one who knows everything, we ought to pray more than we do. Psalm 73, verse 24, Deacon Beasley shared it this morning in his teaching. The psalmist said, God, you will guide me with your counsel. So I asked the Lord, when you were wondering, should I do this? Should I go left or right? Ask God. Brother James, Book of James said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. If we really believe that God knows all things, and I think we do believe it in our heads, but maybe we don't live that way sometimes. If we serve in the one who knows all things, it makes sense to ask him about things, right? Also, the fact that he is omnipresent, you ought to leave here today with a new set of awareness that, hey, God is with me. He's holding me. Verse 10 says he's not only leading me, verse 10, but also he's holding me. He is with me. He is with me. He goes before you. He's watching your back. He's with us. And not only that, saints, verse 15 and 16. The psalmist says, my frame was not hidden from you. That's God's omniscience. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Listen to this, verse 16. Your eyes, God, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Even before I was formed, God saw my substance, the psalmist said. Sounds kind of like Jeremiah 1, right? Then he said, in your book, God, in your book, they were all written. What was written? The days fashioned for me when I was yet, there were none of them. Now, saints, you ought to think with me just for a moment. The psalmist is saying, God, even before you formed me, you knew me. You saw me. He's saying, God, even before I acknowledge, even before I was born, all of my days were written out in your book. And this, I'm going to take my time here just for a moment. This is some pretty heavy and some deep stuff. This is stuff that only God can do. Look, before you were even born, and we can get in all kind of discussions and debates about this and that, and what about if I did this? No, the Bible says, God says, before I was even born, he had my days meted out. Y'all see that? Before you were even born, God had already written out the plan for your life. That's why you and I need to hook up with God and be asking him, God, what did I need to do today? I know you've already written this day out. You know what's going to happen at 1 p.m. You know what's going to happen at 2 p.m. You know what's going to happen at 5 p.m. God, what should I be doing today? You've written this day out. I want to walk in this day according to you because you know all the days of my life. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. If you live 50 more years, God got it all written out. Isn't that what the Bible's saying? I'm not just making this up. This is not hyperbole. This is not like overstatement. You know, sometimes the Bible uses great imagery to kind of overstate things to get out. Now, this is really factual. Before I was even born, before you were even born, he said, let me just read it from the Bible. Y'all looking at me a little strange this morning. Let me just read it from the Bible. And in your book, in God's book, they were all written out. What was written out? The days fashioned for me. The days fashioned for you. When as yet, there were none of them. Even before you were born, even before August the 26th, 1962, when I was born, don't be trying to do the math. I'm 57 years old. Don't be trying to do the math too fast. Even before I was born, God had written them all out. Isn't that amazing? So I can rest in the fact that God got this thing settled. I just need to chase after him. I just need to get in his book. I just need to seek him and pray to him and say, God, I know you got it worked out. You know what's going to happen today, tomorrow, next week? I mean, just like that thing that happened Friday. Some of y'all, I know our daughter Ashley, she actually made it to Blue Cross. And then they said, well, y'all, you can go back home. And she was probably rejoicing. She went back home with a paid vacation day. I know one of my other buddies said he was on his way to work Friday morning. He got an alert saying, hey, don't come to work. Don't go downtown. See, that caught all of us off guard, didn't it? Surprise us. All kind of, they still flashing stuff on the news now. First they talking about, just the people in that area, boil your water. Then they said, well, no, everybody. I said, wait a minute, man, you should have told me that 10 hours ago, man. I've been drinking this water up, man. No wonder I'm feeling kind of sick. I wasn't feeling sick. I wasn't feeling sick. But I have been a little more careful with that water the last day or so though, after I heard that. So you might want to be careful going out. You might not want to drink out of the water fountains. I don't know. But see, that caught all us off guard, right? It didn't catch God off guard. It didn't catch God off guard. I want to keep hanging out with him. I want to keep following him. I want to keep worshiping him. I want to keep seeking him because he know all this stuff. We don't know what's going to happen the rest of the day. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You might be on your way downtown, winds, and you might get all kind of alerts. Oh, go back, go back. But God knows. God knows. So listen here. I know it's kind of a cliche. Look, I don't know what tomorrow holds. No, I do not know what tomorrow holds. But I do know the one who holds tomorrow. I do know the one who holds tomorrow. So long as I know him, I'm okay. I'm okay. That's what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist says, all my days were written when I hadn't even lived one of them yet. That's God's omniscience. That's God's omniscience. He knows everything about everybody. He knows all things. And not only that, he talks about how in verse 17 and 18, listen to this, this should bring you some more comfort this morning, and I'm almost finished. It says, how precious. Because once again, the backdrop is he's thinking about God being this awesome God who knows everything. This awesome God who is omnipresent. Also this awesome God who is all powerful. And then so he said, wait a minute. How precious also are your thoughts to me. He really means thoughts toward me. Now, wait a minute, God. You're so awesome and so mighty, and but yet you're thinking about me. Your thoughts are on me. Psalmist in Psalms 8 said it similar. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God, why are you even thinking about it? I mean, you're this awesome God that spoke all this stuff into existence, but yet your mind is on me, on us. Isn't that amazing? So don't be thinking about, well, so-and-so didn't call me today. They ain't thinking about me today. Well, God, if you know God, God is thinking about you. Don't let nobody have that much power over you. God is thinking about you. Just because he didn't send you a text message don't mean he ain't thinking about you. How precious also are your thoughts to me or toward me, oh God. How great is the sum of them. Listen, what he's saying. See, he has a personal relationship with God. Yeah, I mean, she got a personal relationship with God. He's saying, Lord, if I should count them, I'm talking about your thoughts toward me. If I should try to count them out, Sister John, if I should try to count them, how many would they be, David? They would be more in number than the sand. Some translations say the sand of the seashore. Now look, I know some of y'all probably been to the beach and some of y'all might not have been to the beach, but the next time you're around some sand, just pick it up in your hand and see if you can count the grains of sand. You can't do it. I said, you can't do it. So what God is saying is, what David is saying to God, he said, God, your thoughts toward me are so many, so numerous, it's like an infinite number. I can't even think of all the thoughts that you have toward me. If I try to count it out, like God is thinking about me a million times a day, that's still not enough. He said, I can't count it out. He said, I can't count it out, your thoughts toward me. Then he says, when I awake, you know, when I'm like, man, this is too good. Remember earlier, he talking about your knowledge is so high, I can't even reach it. So it's like when he lays down at night, it's like, man, this is so good. I just I can't even hardly believe this. And he said, when I wake up, y'all see verse 18, he said, when I wake up, I am still with you. This is still true. I still belong to you. I went to sleep. I thought it was a dream. I thought it was just a figment of my imagination. But when I wake up, Sister Shonda, I'm still yours. And your thoughts are still toward me. And you're still all knowing. And you're still omnipresent. Oh, this is just too much for me. I said, man, when I wake, I am still with you. And then he goes on, we won't read through those, but he talks about the wicked that are coming against us. And he's basically saying, man, he talked about how they talked about God, the wicked did. And he said, God, since they hate you, shouldn't I hate them? And then he comes back to kind of put it in context. And then he comes back, he talks about, I hope I had the right type of righteous hatred toward the enemies of God. But then just to make sure, he comes back with the last two verses. He said, God, these people that hate you, I'm feeling myself kind of hating them. So I want to say, God, I want to make sure I'm not off track. This is what he said. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. When was the last time you prayed that, beloved? Search me, O God. Know my heart. Know my heart. And then he says, and try me or test me and know my anxieties, or know my ways, know my thoughts, know my concern. Search me. And then he says, and see if there is any wicked way in me. And he really, as a worshiper of God, he knows that there's some wicked stuff in there. So he says, look, if there's anything wicked in me, I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. So those wicked things that are in there, he wants God to lead him away from those things. He says, search my heart. It's going to be some wicked stuff in there. Lead me away from that stuff. Lead me into your way everlasting. That's speaking to everlasting life. Lead me to your way everlasting. He said, I want you to lead me toward you. That's a good thing, saints. I said, that's a great request. I said, God, since you are all knowing, God, since you have all power, God, since you are ever present, search my heart. And when you find some things in there, dear Lord, take it out. Lead me away from those things. Show me those things that I might confess those things to you. I might repent of those things and turn away from those things and turn to you and let you lead me into the way everlasting. Lead me, since you have all power, since you are all knowing, since you are everywhere all at the same time, I want to be in the same home that you're in. I want you to lead me to your home, to your eternal home. Kind of like John 14 when Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be there also. So the psalmist said, God, since you're all knowing, since you know everything, search my heart. Get me right with you. I want to stay right with you. Listen, saints, a person, and Bible says it better than me. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So anybody that acknowledges there is a God would be a fool, first of all, not to acknowledge there is a God, but if you do acknowledge there is a God, would be a fool not to surrender to Christ. And be adopted into the family of God. To be a child of this God who has all power, who's all knowing, who's ever present everywhere at the same time. This God, he is all knowing, he is all powerful, he is ever present, he is the creator, he's the God most high, he's the God who sees. He's the all-sufficient one, our God is. He is our Lord. He is a self-existent one. He is the Lord who provides. He is the Lord who heals. He is the Lord, our banner. He goes before us. He fights our battles. He is the Lord who sanctifies. He is the one who sets us apart. He is the Lord who justifies. He declares us righteous. He is the Lord, our peace. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord, here it is, Deacon Beasley. He is the Lord, my shepherd. The Lord, our shepherd. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He is the Lord. Lord, who is there, he is here, there, and everywhere. He is our strong tower. He is our fortress. Matter of fact, he's a mighty fortress. A mighty fortress is our God. He is our shield. He's our buckler. He's our friend when we are friendless. He's our way out of no way. He's our hope, our joy, our peace. He's our everything. He's the one who is all places at the same time, has all power in his hands, knows all things about everything. So I don't know about you. I want to get to know him better. I want to get to know him better, the one who's in control of everything. You and I should have a hunger, a passion, a desire to get to know him better. And then if you don't know him, you ought to come and get to know him. But those of us who do know him, we ought to want to get to know him better. We ought to want to get to know him better. We ought to want to get to know him better. Hey, get a Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm through. Our God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. Our God is all knowing. He's omniscient. Our God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all at the same time. And that's the God that you and I serve.